you. I tried to get you last night, but you...
That's so nice of you, Mr. President. I'll tell you what my problem was. You know, the Ku Klux Klan Grand Dragon is suing my wife and her mother for $200,000, and I'm hearing on a case comes up on Friday, so we've been out working on it.
Our friend Carl Rowan broke that story on us and got us in rather serious trouble.
I was disappointed in Carl for doing that.
It'll hurt us a great deal, because we got all the problems we can bear with Powell and others, and every press man just mad as a hornet, and what Cliff Alexander did was go over with Carl the basis of it, just kind of like we went over with y'all. And Carl said that he wouldn't write it except after it went to the Congress, because anything the Congress gets mad about, it's somebody telling somebody else something before they tell them. It's kind of an insult to a president to have a message even in the paper before it goes. And our group handled it all right, but well, it did. Well, I had a question whether I ought to wait a week on it, and I talked to Roy, and Roy thought that would probably be better. Just let it die down and cool off, and then maybe send a letter up to the speaker making the same recommendations, but maybe take out a little of the emotional stuff I had in it. And he said he thought I ought to talk to you, that he trusted your judgment, and we both kind of agreed more than anybody else's, but I tried to get you to about midnight, and I didn't, so I finally just thought it might be misunderstood. They might say, well, Johnson didn't lay it on the line, he's wobbling, or he's doubtful, or something. These people get so sensitive that have been persecuted a long time. Some of our friends been persecuted 2,000 years, you know, and they think it, they just don't trust anybody, so I decided we better just go on with it and hit the cold water. It's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt me with the press. The leading ones are mad as hell, and they say, why does a Negro columnist get a Negro lawyer? And they put out stuff here before the president even signs it or before it ever goes to the Congress, and it's very unfair, and they're discriminated against, and they just raise hell about discrimination against them. And there's about 8 or 10 of them doing it all day yesterday, and CBS, and NBC, and New York Times, and Washington Post, and folks that we really need on our side. I concluded, my staff felt we ought to go on with it, Harry and Joe Califano, and Roy and I kind of felt the other way, but we might not see the forest for the trees, and I finally, after I came back from this party for the Majesty of Ethiopia, that I just decided we better go on with it. So I'm going to brief them on it today and send it up sometime during the day, unless I change my mind. Have you got any thoughts?
Yes, sir, Mr. President. I agree with you in your decision to go ahead. I think that if we delay, it's entirely possible that it would get worse rather than better. And
it's what Louis Martin thought. Yeah, he thought that we ought to go ahead. He thought it would probably just stir it up, and they'd all start raising hell. What are you backing down on?
Well, that's right. You see, what we have to realize is that, Mr. President, in this field, you can never keep even the people who are most concerned entirely in harmony on it, because the press is always after them to say something derogatory. I don't go into a city in this country, but that the first question that's asked of me by the newspapers is, well, now, are you unhappy about this or that? And I always come back fighting, saying that we've made progress, the president's given us leadership, and this is what we want. And I might say this is the reason I was suggesting that it would be good if you made a little television statement, because you go over the heads of these people who try to start your program, and you get directly to the people, telling them the fine things you're trying to do. So I'm 100% in agreement with going ahead.
Okay, well, for God's sakes, get your outfit. Clarence, you about the only one works. We haven't got much horsepower in our meeting there, and Whitney Young's good in these cities, and he's out working on it, but we got to get down here at the grassroots. Some of these folks have, you know, lobbies up there on the hill, and And we got to bring them in from other places if we'd have any chance. And so I just hope you'll give a good deal of attention to this. Roy said last night we agreed that you're about the best we got, so we're going to overwork you if we get anywhere this year.
Well, Mr. President, it's a pleasure to serve in your forces on this thing because I know that we're doing something that the country is going to benefit from so greatly. And we're having a meeting of our lobby group this afternoon.
Now, listen, another thing I think you ought to know, I don't want to say anything, I cussed them out, Harry, but not having Joe Rao there the other day. He had him and this Jewish fellow, what's his name, Brody?
Yes, Dave Brody.
He had him coming in extra. I'm going to give Joe a special letter on what he's done on home rule and expressing regret he resigned locally the Democratic Organization. He wanted me to compliment him, and so I've got a strong letter. But just between us, they wanted you from the leadership conference, and they just felt that we had to have somebody, the Civil Rights Commission like Hesburgh, and we had to have the Archbishop. We wanted to spread out a little bit. And Harry and Cliff and Louis Martin were afraid we'd just have too many white faces there and just look like we'd taken over the movement. And so they tried to get, you know, we couldn't get King, and we finally had to get Fauntleroy at the last minute so we could have somebody that was, we wanted it to be representative. Roy said it was quite representative, but we had you represent the leadership conference. We had to have somebody from labor, but we didn't have, we had to be B. Miller, you see, and then we had to have Archbishop O'Boyle, and then we had to have Hesburgh, the Civil Rights, we had to have Schulman, who's, we could have had one of the Negro members, but Schulman's pretty good, and he's chairman. And he would have been insulted to have had him as chairman, you see. And we had Roger all right, but our men, it, good or bad, I didn't make it, didn't know it. I called them and asked them why the hell they didn't have it, and they said, well, they had you instead of for the leadership conference, and they just didn't want to load it with all whites.
Well, I tell you, Mr. President, I think that we've got to forget about whether it looks like it's loaded with all white or all Negro or anything. The main thing is just have the people in there who really work. Joe works, you know, day and night on these things.
Well, we did. We had him in the next day, but we didn't have him that day. And they just tried to have one to kind of pull them together, and maybe Cliff and Louis didn't do it right. I don't know. But anyway, that's what they did.
Oh, well, I tell you, I don't have any criticism of anybody. It's like I said in the meeting. I think that we did what we could with the forces that we had. Now, I think it was a miracle that we got that bill through the House last year. And I don't like saying anything about Senator Dirksen to you because he's helpful to you on other things. But the
no, no.
He was really the stumbling block.
Oh, no question. He told me he just blocked it. And what he told me was that they made him do it. He just frankly said that. He said that King went out to Chicago and got all of his people worked up, and they started flooding the mail to him. Said then he went to Waukegan. He said, now that's where my real contributors live. Then he said they went to some other place, Cicero, I guess it was. And he said, every minority group out there just came up in arms. And I said, well, can't we do something to modify this thing and get you support? He said, well, he'd see, he'd try. And he came back about the third time. I didn't tell anybody, but I had him down here with Nick Katzenbach three times. Last time he told me, just said, I can't do it. And I said, well, can you do it next year? Well, he said, I'll have to look at it then. But I see now that on this consular treaty, he's doing the same thing. He's not any friend of mine. I mean, he's always against us where he defends against us on war things. He tries to be reasonable about it, but I've had hell with him all this year on the consular agreement. I'm trying to get it in, and he's a very able fellow, but he killed our labor bill, and he killed this by himself with his own little hatchet.
That's why I don't want to see the blame shifted to anybody else.
I think we might get Percy and Brooke now. Brooke is a pretty reasonable fella.
Thomas Neal, supporter.
I didn't call his name, but he came in, talked to me. He was supposed to be there 20 minutes, and I kept him over an hour. And he asked me my judgment about his making.